Every moment is bigger than the next.
Get out of here, gone!
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental.
2-2 pitch.
High fly ball, deep left field. Nimmo back at the track. Gone! A grand slam for Rhys Hoskins. His 26th home run of the season. His third grand slam of the year. And the Brewers lead it 4-0 in the bottom of the first.
Now to break it all down live from American Family Field, here is your host, Dom Catronio.
Oh, what a moment. Rhys Hoskins continues to torment the New York Mets. Man, that opening series feels like it was so long ago. His 17th career home run against the Mets. Of course, all of those with the Phillies back in the day. En route to the Brewers, 8-4 victory over the Mets. Two games to go. Win number 92. Brewers are rolling again after winning the series against the Pirates, having the comeback win on Sunday, the last time they played here against the D-backs, and really were in control for this entire game as the Brewers get the victory. Bryce Terang reached 50 stolen bases, only the fifth player ever in franchise history to reach that mark. They also tied the franchise record with 10 grand slams in a season. Joe Ross was fantastic. Frankie looked okay. We'll talk about Frankie, too, and we'll hear from you. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, I think it all starts with Rhys. And we could talk a little bit about the strike zone. I mean, I'm sure Carlos Mendoza wants to talk about the strike zone. He was ejected, the manager of the Mets, for arguing balls and strikes. Ramon De Jesus had a day. And, you know, in that first inning, there were definitely a few calls that went the Brewers' way. Not even going to sugarcoat that. Not going to lie about it. It certainly helped. I point to the walk by Adames. The computer had it as a ball. And I'm like, man, that's a. I would have had no qualms if he called that a strike. That was a really good pitch on that slider on the inside corner. And then Rhys fell behind 0-2, mind you, with two outs and the bases loaded. And I could hear the collective groans from the world. Like, oh, all right, he had an opportunity in the first inning, and he didn't cash it in. Then he works the count, just like he worked the count against Justin Martinez on Sunday before he had the stoink, the base hit. I mean, think about it. His last two hits in this ballpark, the game-tying two-run single against the Diamondbacks on Sunday, and then the grand slam in the first inning today. That's a couple of clutch ABs for Rhys Hoskins. I thought that was mass for him, home run number 26. And we talked about him in yesterday's Brewers Weekly in that he's getting warm. It was one of the checklists for the Brewers in this final month of the season. Get Rhys warm to hot by the end of the season. And here in the month of September, he's not a batting average guy. He's hitting .231. But if I tell you his .342 on base would be his best on base month to this point in the season, that's encouraging. His OPS at .804 would be the best it's been since May when it was .828. And he only hit three homers that month. Tonight was his fourth homer this month. Mind you, in May, he only played 12 games because of his hamstring strain. So that's even flawed a little bit, too. So to see Rhys get warm again, he hit five homers in April, six if you include March, so that's how it should be. So six homers in the first 27 games of the year. I imagine he'll probably get one more game. Maybe he'll get tomorrow or Sunday off. In 23 games, he's got four homers this month. All really encouraging signs from Rhys Hoskins to get him hot, to get him going. He is going to be a massive piece of the puzzle for the Brewers. Real quick before Craig Kishon joins us in a moment, let's do some scoreboard watching, shall we? As the wild card race is all over the place, and right now, the Padres are leading the Diamondbacks 5-3 in the top of the eighth inning. If that result holds, that means all three teams, the Diamondbacks, the Mets, and the Braves who won tonight 3-0, would all be virtually tied in record, with the Diamondbacks having two games remaining and the Mets and Braves having four games scheduled remaining. And as Craig Kishon sits in with us now, Craig, I mean, it's going to get chaotic. I mean, there are scenarios with sweeps in play. Will cross that bridge maybe tomorrow night if the sweeps are still in action, where the Mets can fall down to the sixth seed or even out of the playoffs entirely. We know the Diamondbacks are probably the odds-on likely team the Brewers to be facing here, but a game like tonight reminds everybody, hey, the Brewers still have a say in all of this. And if they can take two out of three from the Mets, they could sort of create their own luck and have the Mets come right back here after a potential doubleheader on Monday.
It seems like that's like would be everybody's favorite, you know, after just listening to how people are talking, you know, in the organization here without, you know, trying to say too much. I mean, but you also, you know, like Murph said today, you know, we were in his office when he was, you know, talking during his pregame, Dom, and it's just, you got to be careful who you wish for. That's for sure. I even said this on our pregame when Sophia was talking about potential, you know, who they might face and how much they want to show from pitching against the Mets in case they face them again. And could it be the Diamondbacks and all this? And, you know, I just said at the end, I go, after saying all of this, it's probably going to be the Braves coming to town. And we haven't seen them in a while, too. So it's so up in the air here right now. And I continue to say this, though. To me, I don't think there's any team that poses any bigger threat than the next one at this point. I think the Brewers are, you know, a very, very, very good team, and they're going to be ready for anybody, in my opinion.
I think the thing to remember, too, with the Braves hold the tiebreaker on the Diamondbacks, and the tiebreaker is in limbo against the Mets, and this is why everything is so frustrating and confusing for Monday, is because they have to play one game. They really do have to play one game on Monday. Depending on what happens this weekend, it could be they have to play both games because the Diamondbacks do not hold a tiebreaker. The Diamondbacks, because of that, are likely to be in the sixth seed if Atlanta gets in, because if they would likely have the same record, Atlanta would be the five seed and they would be going to San Diego. Whereas, because Arizona doesn't hold the tiebreaker, if they end up with the same record, Arizona will be coming right back here. But the Mets and the Braves tiebreaker isn't settled, so there's going to be a game on Monday, and especially because both the Braves and the Mets, the Braves won and the Mets lost tonight, guaranteeing that the playoff berth will not be clinched until Monday tonight. So that scenario is in play. They're going to play on Monday. However, the Brewers, all they can do is keep playing ball. It's not like you really get to pick who you want, like you said. You be careful what you wish for, what Murph said. I know a lot of folks want to act like the Brewers have control in all of this and they have a say. They can play well and they can, you know, have the Mets. They can beat all three of the Mets this series. But if the Diamondbacks lose or get swept in their series against the Padres, they're right back to here to this square one where it's like, well, Arizona's going to be begging for the Braves to win those two games on Monday, that the Mets would be out of the playoffs and Arizona would still be here. So the Brewers, they have a small part in this, but again, like you said, Craig, I thought you and Murph put it perfectly. You can't really wish on anything because what you wish for is probably what you're going to get and you may not actually want it.
Well, and you know, it usually happens in these scenarios, especially a team like Milwaukee, who's been waiting for this to unfold. You know, I think when they clinched the division, everybody pretty much assumed they'd be that wild card host team and have that number three seed. But I think the biggest thing about it is you kind of worry a little bit about the team you're going to play. Might be the hottest team that you're going to play. I think for me, I always think of that scenario like, okay, you clinched, you know, 10 games ago, but the team you're going to play has been fighting to the bitter end. Well, what if you get one of those teams that backs their way into the playoffs that had a horrible final week, but you need two spots filled up and you're still waiting to see who's going to get it and they're not playing well? Then maybe you get lucky and get that team instead of getting the hottest team right now and the most hungry team. It you know, emotions do play a part in this, and whatever happens on Monday, like you're saying, if that game is going to be the first game of that doubleheader at the very least is going to be played, isn't Arizona going to be sitting on a plane wondering where to go and be ready to go somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, though, come Monday, the Diamondbacks will know they're either in or they're coming to Milwaukee. If they're in, they're going to be coming to Milwaukee, especially since they're about to lose tonight. Assuming they lose, that game will go final by the time our show is off the air. It's 5-3 Padres, top of the eighth inning right now. If the Diamondbacks lose tonight, they cannot get the fifth seed, meaning they cannot surpass, because of the tiebreaker, the Mets' highest win total or the Braves' highest win total. So that's something to keep in mind here. The Diamondbacks are likely bound for the sixth seed if they make it in. Now, if they get swept, they may not even get into the postseason. So that's we're going to hurt our brains even further here, Craig, if we keep talking about the tiebreakers. I do want to talk about the game with you, so that's going to come up next. Brewers get the dub. Fun game. Reese, Frankie, Ross, Terang, a lot of unsung heroes in this one. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 8-4 over the Mets, game one of the final series of the year. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon is here, too. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses here in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Craig, reset the tone. I said it right as you got on. Resetting the tone and him getting hot. Man, that's going to be a massive piece for the Brewers moving forward because he's quietly had a better September. He has got postseason experience. He has been a pillar. He has been, you know, through the ringer in June and July of trying to get his swing back in order. But to see him starting to get in a groove, and there were some takes that I saw from him like, ooh, that's a guy that's getting locked in right now. And the value of having that guy hitting sixth, seventh in your order, that's somebody that every team's going to have circled. Like, all right, hey, don't make a mistake to this guy like Manaea did tonight.
You know, the thing about Reese Hoskins is it may have taken him a while to get his feet back on the ground after not playing last year. I think we saw that for a good chunk of this season. Maybe go through a rut or two. Maybe go through some points where he's still getting used to not being a Philly and being a Brewer. But we are seeing recently here that he definitely knows what time of year it is, and he is very familiar with the playoffs and making deep runs in World Series. And I've really noticed a huge change in him from every aspect. Going deep into counts. This guy gets locked in after it's 0-2. It's almost like he's a better hitter when his at-bat starts out 0-2. Tonight's Grand Slam. Same situation for him that I'm describing. But he's been coming up clutch. You know, we saw it on Sunday in that huge comeback. He's had a lot to do recently in a lot of different ways, big and small, with this team getting back on the winning track. So no better guy. And really, if you look at it, that signing for Reese especially, I think, is all about this time of year. It wasn't during the regular season. Maybe next year's regular season, he can put something complete and come back that way and feel good. But right now he's feeling great because of the time of year, and he's coming through big time.
The Brewers scored 8 runs tonight, and by my count, 6 of them came with 2 outs, highlighted, of course, by that grand slam from Reese Hoskins. Something interesting, too, in that first inning against Sean Manaea, making him throw 36 pitches. This is the Brewer way. This is how they get to you and get to starters. Now, it won't be that easy in the playoffs. Let's make that very clear. You're going to face the best of the best. But every single batter in the first inning had 2 strikes on them at some point, okay? Terang getting a start higher in the order because they want to see how he does against the tough lefty, singles up the middle. Frelick ends up striking out. Churio flies out with a 2-strike pitch. So this rally began with a man on second and 1 out. Then Contreras from 3-0 to 3-2, walk. Adames from from 2-2 to 3-2 to walk. Then Hoskins from 0-2 to 2-2 to grand slam. The Brewers' ability to work counts, they'll swing and miss. Like, that's not a secret. The Brewers are in the middle of the pack, above average when it comes to swing and miss. But they will not chase. They will be very patient. They are one of the lowest first-pitch swinging teams in baseball. They make you work. They force you to come over the plate. They will swing and miss, but they don't swing and miss at pitches out of the zone generally, which is why they're such a tough matchup, and we saw that come to fruition in the first inning.
Yeah, there's just something about how these hitters grind a pitcher. And if you can do that in the opening frame, I mean, Manaea's been pitching very, very, very well. And they did something to him tonight that hasn't happened to him in quite some time, if very often at all, this entire season. So kudos to the Brewer hitters. They seem top to bottom like they're back where they were maybe in the month of August to me. Just the deep counts that you're talking about. They're getting production from the look what Terang did today. I mean, how in the world do you lose a game if Bryce Terang's leading off and Bryce Terang has 3 stolen bases, advances on 3 wild pitches, advances on a pass ball, he's on base 4 times. Scored a couple of runs in this game, had an RBI, and just was the biggest pest in the world for every pitcher that was out there tonight for the Mets. And then the rest of the guys just follow suit because chances are they're going to get some pretty good pitches to hit. So this was pretty ideal, I think.
I mean, with Terang, I think the biggest part about that, getting on base right 4 times, all 4 times that he got on base was against a left-handed pitcher.
Right,
and
yep. Yeah,
he's been batting 9th against lefties, and Pat Murphy, he was asked about it earlier today. He said, hey, why you got back-to-back lefties facing Sean Manaea? And by the way, the Mets are starting another lefty tomorrow in Jose Quintana. The Brewers have seen him plenty for the 9 millionth time.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine we'll see Terang leading off again tomorrow because this has always been sort of like a, man, if only he could figure it out against lefties. This is all we're asking him to do. We're not telling him to go pull a home run down the right field line. The Brewers have just won him on base, and for him to get a couple of knocks and an infield hit and a walk, I mean, he's more valuable on the base paths than he is batting 9th and hoping for the best. I really liked what he did against lefties because he is going to have to face lefties in the postseason. They're not going to pinch hit him given how valuable his defense is. So getting these reps in these 3 games against the Mets lefties is going to create some confidence for him.
Well, don't you love the fact that we have seen this coaching staff and this franchise be willing to make adjustments at any point of the season? So they weren't obviously locked in with Terang hitting 9th, even though we've seen him so many times against left-handed starting pitching hitting 9th. So they changed things up. And guess what? They changed things up pretty well because you're not like exposing something you're going to do in the playoffs and think you're going to get hurt by it. You just said, good luck to every left-handed starter out there who's going to come to Milwaukee and play next week because you got Bryce Terang at the top of the order, and he's going to find a way to get on base, that's for sure.
When it comes to Bryce getting on base multiple times in a game, tonight was the 58th time he's been on base multiple times, okay? The Brewers are now 41-17 in games that Bryce Terang reaches base multiple times. That's not even necessarily saying stolen bases. That's just Bryce getting on. And I got to do a deeper dive. I'll do this in the commercial break. But I imagine opponents struggle when Bryce is on base of just thinking about him, having in the back of their mind, because 50 stolen bases, that is such an incredible number, Craig. Only the 5th Brewer to ever reach 50 stolen bases for a guy that last season got demoted to the minor leagues. He wasn't hitting well enough. He was learning how to be a big leaguer. Pat Murphy called for a quantum leap. We have said it all year long. He has made good on that promise and then some. To turn in a season like Bryce has turned in, only the 5th Brewer ever to reach the 50 mark in stolen bases, what a quantum leap indeed.
Yeah, it really was quite a prediction by Pat Murphy at spring training about Bryce Terang and the production he was going to provide. The stolen bases is just such an accomplishment, just such an accomplishment. It's amazing to me what a lot of guys on this team have done and what individuals, you know, teaming together. Now, you got team records for this, that, and the next thing as well. But individual record, when you crack the top five, your second year in the big leagues doing that, that is just unbelievable stuff. And so he has the three stolen bases tonight, Dom, and you talked about pressure on pitchers. It's pressure on pitchers. It's pressure on defense. It's pressure on the catcher even tonight. A pass ball was called that he advanced on. I mean, tonight looked like a self-induced Bryce Terang imposed meltdown on the Mets. It was something to watch.
He was super impressive tonight. And one last note for you here. I just went ahead and looked at this season. What's the Brewers' record when Bryce has at least one stolen base? And tonight, so I'll let you guess, and then we'll go to break with this, Craig. Tonight was the 41st game Terang had at least one stolen base. What do you think their record is in games that he swipes a bag?
Let's see, 41. I'm going to say they've won 30 of those games.
You're too good at this. You're way too good at this. 31.
Whoa,
31 and 10.
Nice.
31 and 10 when Bryce steals a base. That's why it's important for him to get on. We just said that note that they're 41 and 17 when he just gets a board. And now they're 31 and 10 when he steals a bag. And we talked about it today with Pat Murphy. You were in there when I asked him, say, your running game is so impressive because maybe some teams knock your offense. You look at what he did in that first inning. A single, a soft single over Lindor became a double because he stole a bag. A walk became a double because became a two-out double because of a stolen bag, and then gets the wild pitch and the pass ball to get him home. It's valuable. It's not a double. It's not officially a double. It doesn't help your slugging percentage. It doesn't help your weighted runs created plus. But people who have been watching this team, and Murph even called his shot today, we're going to run all over you. Like, we are going to run. And to respond in the way they did is reminding the rest of the league, you better work on your PFPs and your first and thirds and your caught stealing defense.
Well, and it gives greater, you know, definition for what it means to get on base, too. Some teams, I mean, look, you got to get on base to score runs. We all understand that. But then it's how you go about doing it. Are you going to be a team that if you got your runner at first base, do you need a sacrifice to get him in scoring position? Some teams do because they can't run like Milwaukee. You're right. A single or a walk turns into an automatic double. And look at the amount of guys that are capable of doing this. They have eight different players that have at least 10 stolen bases along the line. They've got over 200 stolen bases. So getting on base for this particular team really does spell disaster in a lot of ways for their opponent. And if it keeps going like this and you can keep passing the baton, this is what makes this team so dangerous and sets them apart. I mean, they're now second in the league in stolen bases, but the team in front of them and the team behind them aren't even playoff contenders. So it just goes to show the route they're taking is not just to utilize young speed and talent, but to win with it as well.
Yeah, I'm fired up. But we got to talk some unsung heroes, talk some pitching coming up in the next segment. I really want to give Joe Ross his flowers because I think, and I'll put a hand up on this too, I think we've underreported his story of how incredible that he has been producing for the Brewers. Talk about that coming up next. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one maybe chuckle from Danny on the east side. Hey, the Brewers will clinch home field advantage in the World Series if they win their next two and the Yankees lose their last two. That made me chuckle. I like how you're thinking, Danny. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental, WTMJ.
Humming along one more segment with Craig Kishon. We're going to midnight. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig isn't, but I am. Brewers win 8-4. Frankie Montas, let's start with him before we get into Joe Ross, because I don't know how much more we're going to talk about Frankie. Frankie wasn't particularly sharp tonight. He still pitched well enough to get through four. We knew it was going to be a shorter start for him. Nonetheless, three walks is not his normal character. He also hit a batter, which was oddly timed with Jesse Winker, and it turned into a rally all of a sudden, and it led to Carlos Mendoza getting ejected from this game. But Frankie, I mean, they have a decision to make for Wednesday or Thursday. Do they want to use Savali or Frankie in one of those games of the wild card series? Because we learned that there will be an opener tomorrow with Jared Koenig, and Tobias Myers will follow him in some sort of role, which will virtually eliminate Tobias from being in the first two games of the wild card series. He could pitch in a game three on normal rest, but that remains to be seen. I look at Frankie, I'm like, I'm not super worried about him, but at the same time, if he gives you five innings on Tuesday or Wednesday, or I should say Wednesday or Thursday, you're going to trust it because the bullpen behind him is going to try to get the job done and just keep him in it like he did tonight.
True, but I am in the worried category about that, mostly because I really think Aaron Civale is pitching better right now.
Me too.
And I don't know why in the world he wouldn't pitch that second game, Aaron Civale I'm talking about. So I think Frankie really struggled in his last start, just gave up, you know, those three home runs, seven earned runs, eight runs total. And then tonight, I just look at this. If we're talking about going, you know, potentially not going through a second time round through an order for whatever reason for a pitcher right now, second time through the order tonight, he gave up the home run. And so that was in the top of the third inning to Vientos, the number two hitter. And it was a two-run pop. And that happened two batters after he walked the leadoff hitter. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of in the camp of use Frankie in that wild card series, you know, in that third game if you need him somehow, some form or fashion. But I'm going with Savali in game two myself.
I think I'm with you there. A lot of it does depend on matchups, though, as well. If the Brewers are facing the Diamondbacks, I don't think Frankie is my guy, quite frankly, given how well they hit him last Sunday. They've seen him plenty even when he was with the Reds, so that's just something I monitor when it comes to Frankie. But you're right with that second time through the order. But overall, he only faced 17 batters tonight. Seven of those at-bats went at least six pitches long. That's not normally his MO, which is right. Why I'm not overly concerned. So yeah, he got six strikeouts, which is nice. I mean, he's a guy that the Brewers got him to pitch to a little bit more contact, and there was a heck of a double play turn behind him at one point, but didn't love 20 pitches in the first, 24 pitches in the third, 29 pitches in the fourth, which ultimately cut his outing even shorter than what the Brewers had planned. But they have a hard decision to make, man. I really don't envy them. And quite frankly, let's take a moment to pause here, Craig, that the underwhelming trade deadline, right? Everyone's like, you only got Nick Mears, Aaron Civale, and Frankie Montas. I thought you were going to get offense. And now we're sitting here debating which one of those guys is going to start in a wild card game. I'm sitting here like, wait, they did it to us again. Brewers developed pitchers to get ready for the postseason.
Well, I'll take you all the way back to 2008, you know, and when CC Sabathia was here, and there was no one left in the rotation after that. Then we were begging. Then we put Frankie Montas in there for back-to-back starts too. At this point, for sure. But I'll just say this: just looking at the numbers, and the thing that's bothered me probably most about Montas and Civale when they got here were the free passes, just the extra base runners. And so I'm looking at Frankie tonight. He pitched four innings, and he gave up three walks and hit a batter. So I just don't like every inning. At least you're putting somebody on, and it, you know, the low hit total is one thing, but the free passes I'm just bothersome this time of year in limited action.
I agree. Before we talk about Joe Ross, I want to get to a caller, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Jeff in West Bend, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, I was at the game tonight, and I'm just kind of wondering on Frelick. I haven't heard anything about how seriously he's injured, because that could really hurt us going into the playoffs.
Yeah, good question. I should have led with that at the top. You're right, Jeff. Appreciate the reminder. Frelick, the x-rays were inconclusive, according to Pat Murphy. He's going to get an MRI tomorrow, and we'll see. I, I, I'm sitting here holding my breath because, man, he would be super valuable to have. It was a freak play down the right field line with the cutout for the grounds crew down the right field line with their door and with that window over there. I mean, one in a million play. You know, some folks say, why is it even there? And, you know, I don't blame them. But at the same time, it's like, man, at least, you know, you could figure, all right, well, Blake Perkins would play center and Garrett Mitchell would play right. And, you know, maybe you lose a little bit of contact and slap ability. But Garrett's got some power. Yes, there's some swing and miss in there. But we'll hold our breath when it comes to Sal Frelick's health tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Pat Murphy didn't seem overly optimistic that he was going to get through this being able to play. So, I mean, you could just tell Frelick was in an incredible amount of pain. And I am guessing he walked off under his own power up until he came up to the steps to the dugout, because this guy's a hockey player on a baseball field. He's tough as nails. He doesn't want anybody carrying his, you know, athletic body anywhere. He's got a lot of pride, and you know he's going to do whatever he can to get back. But that was nasty. A lot of baseball players, hip injuries aren't very common in this sport. That type of collision, though, is probably one of the few that's going to actually produce something like that. And so I hope it's not severe, but I promise you, he was in a lot of pain. You could just see it. He had to be helped down the steps just to get in the dugout and then in the ramp to go up to the clubhouse. So let's just keep your fingers crossed on everything. I think the only positive out of this is the fact that this outfield is deep. This outfield's productive. It's hungry. It's young. It's fast. It's everything. The defense is really good. So for those who are still standing, they're still, you know, a lot of great hope here.
All right, real quick on Joe Ross, because I want to let you go. I mean, Joe, this dude, as a reliever now, I'm just sitting here like, man, why did it? I understand injuries played a role in all of this, but him going three innings tonight as a reliever, and now, since he moved to the bullpen, 15 games, a 1.67 ERA in 27 innings. He's only allowed 5 earned runs. He's got 27 strikeouts. This dude went from, man, is he going to pitch again with the back injury that he had earlier in the year? And, all right, well, I guess he'll be the fifth or sixth starter, to he's going to face leverage righties in the postseason. This dude didn't pitch in the big league since 2021. Again, the Brewers scouting, development, coaching, and resources saw him as somebody the Brewers could use, and he is going to play a massive role in October.
Well, he's going to serve a lot of different weapons. I mean, he could start a game. He could be, you know, the back end guy after a starter and do just what he did here in this game today. He can keep you in games if you're down a run or two. He can keep you keep the lead for you if you're only up a run or two. He can do a lot of different things to patch really important innings from the beginning to get to the rest of the bullpen, which is even more dangerous inning by inning. So he's done a tremendous job. I really am happy for a guy like Joe Ross, who's been in the league for a while, got hurt, was out, battled back, was given an opportunity here, and had a rough go of it with the early season injury. But coming back and finding your role and accepting your role, I can't say that enough about just about every one of these Brewer players. Just the fact that they find a role with the staff and they believe in themselves and go out and do it. And they strike a lot of confidence with those making decisions too. So that's some big time stuff from Joe Ross.
The whiff rate against righties on his slider specifically, his primary outpitch, is over 42%. And that's going to come in handy in October. Craig, this has been fun all year long, man. This is your last show of the year. I know you're going to have some other roles, including dad, during the postseason. So I'm really happy for you. I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us all season long. And hopefully we'll get to keep doing it again next year in whatever role that we may be finding ourselves in come this time next year. But I can't thank you enough for all your insight all year long.
Well, Dom, it was great working with you, and you're just a wealth of knowledge. I talk to a lot of people, who listen to these shows religiously, and they can't get over the research that you do and the numbers that you can come up with and the painting the right scenarios and a lot of strategy. So it's fun talking with you about all these things. And thankfully, we've had, 92 wins to talk about this season. So that makes our jobs a little bit easier, too.
Yeah, it's fun to talk ball with somebody who also loves talking ball. Craig Kishon, thank you as always, my friend. And I'll see you on Sunday. But in the meantime, appreciate you, man, and get home safe.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We'll hear from Joe Ross a little bit later on. We'll also hear from Pat Murphy here in just a moment, too. And highlights, of course. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewer, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewer's Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewer's Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Thanks for hanging out with us here tonight. Also want to thank Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical for their support all season long here on the program. There's still time to schedule your annual furnace tune-up. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $20 off through the end of October. Act fast and schedule an appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Families helping families since 1912. You know, I said Joe Ross a little bit later. Well, why wait? We just talked about Joe and the great numbers that he's had as a reliever. He caught up with Josh Maurer after today's game on the network postgame. Enjoy those two catching up.
Joe Ross is kind enough to join us from down by the clubhouse. He gets the win tonight in relief of Frankie Montas. Congratulations, Joe. Thanks for sticking around for us.
Oh, no, of course. Thanks for having me.
So the numbers that you've been putting up, Joe, since you moved into this role, this multiple-inning relief role for the last month or so, 2 months, I guess I should say, they're outstanding, eye-popping numbers. How's this working so well for you?
I've just trying to, you know, roll with the team and the opportunity that I've been given. And, you know, I think early on they did a great job of giving me some rest to kind of recover between outings. But, you know, I'm just trying to keep up with the rest of these guys in the bullpen. And so far I've been holding my own.
Three innings of scoreless ball here tonight against a really difficult Mets lineup. Hey, you came in after the Brewers had built a lead, so you had a lead to protect. What was your mentality when you came out there for the fifth inning?
Just go out there, pound the zone, stay within myself, and, you know, trust the fingers, or I guess the button pressing from William back there behind home plate. And, you know, I just try to, you know, stay in the zone and let the defense do what they do. So, you know, it felt good out there, and it was good to see us get the win there, start the series.
It's funny. We got to change the vocabulary these days.
It's a bad habit, so I'm trying to get over it.
Joe Ross, our guest here, as the Brewers win 8-4. This was a really fun atmosphere we noticed from up in the booth. Did you guys notice it down there on the field that the atmosphere felt almost kind of like playoffs tonight?
Yeah, I think we're getting there. You know, it's getting a little bit more exciting. You know, we had some pretty cool first pitch throwers out there today, and I think as the crowd builds up as we get to these last couple games of the year, I think it'll be a good build up for the playoffs in the wild card series. So I know I'm looking forward to it. I think the rest of the guys are too. So you know, all you fans, come on out and make sure to show some love.
Got to ask you about Rhys Hoskins, who set the tone tonight with that grand slam against Manaea in the first inning. What did that do for the team when you saw that go over the wall?
Oh, I mean, that was a huge boost. You know, anytime runners are on, you know, it kind of gets the energy going. And we were, you know, able to capitalize there in the first inning. And anytime you can, you know, go into the second with a four-run lead, you know, I'll take that 7 days a week. So it was great. And I think we just kind of stayed on him after that and tacked on a couple more and got us a dub.
Joe, thanks for sticking around. We appreciate it. Congrats on the win for you and for the team.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Josh Maurer and Joe Ross after today's win. I mean, he earns the win because Frankie didn't go five innings. So congrats to Joe Ross earning the win as a reliever, his first as a reliever. Let's get to the phone lines. Colin in Delafield. Colin, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Brother Dom. How's it going?
It's going great after a W.
Yeah. Always a good win. Hey, going into the postseason, you know, look, Peralta's our ace. He hasn't been, you know, phenomenal, so to say. You know, some ups and downs. Savali, probably the two. But overall, I guess my thing is, like, would we be better putting guys like Myers and Montez as well as Ashby, you know, in the bullpen and maybe take out some of these guys that are relievers like a Nick Mears who hasn't been great, you know, coming off an injury, I'm just wondering, like, if it's better, like, if one of these guys, whether it's even Peralta, Savali, starts getting, you know, a little bit beat up after 2-3 innings, like, hey, we're going with Montez. We're putting him in. Would it be better to have more of these starting pitchers then in the bullpen to give a little more long relief?
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, Colin. I do think, though, the Brewers have a multitude of multi-inning guys on their projected postseason roster. I talked about it yesterday where, look, you're going to have D.L. Hall down there. You're going to have Aaron Ashby down there. You're going to have Joe Ross, who threw three innings tonight down there. And normally you only carry as many starters as you would need on a playoff roster, given you're only allowed to have a maximum of 13 pitchers. So you can have three starters and 10 relievers if you so wish. Maybe what the Brewers will do is they'll carry three starters, being Freddie Peralta, Aaron Civale, and Frankie Montas. And maybe they carry a fourth guy that's a bulk guy like Colin Ray that could be down there. And they would save Tobias for game one of an NLDS, because I believe Tobias will have a role on this postseason team. And he's going to pitch tomorrow, which basically takes him out of the running to be on the postseason wild card round roster. But he would be available in the DS roster. You got to remember, though, in the postseason, you rarely get to go a full time through the order as a reliever, because the game gets too tight, and the Brewers have such a multitude of choices down there that they can use. And then also you got to consider the starter. Like, hey, some guys just aren't comfortable going down to the bullpen and getting out of their routine and not finding themselves where they are. I mean, Colin Ray can handle it. But I don't see Tobias Myers doing that. I definitely don't see Freddie or Savali or Frankie doing that. So I think that's where the Brewers are thinking. They do have a multitude of guys that can go multiple innings, and guys like Hobie Milner and guys like Nick Mears will probably get left off the playoff roster. But hey, somebody's got to pitch these innings at the end of the regular season to get them to October. But it's a good question. Appreciate the call there, Colin. Up against the break, we're going to hear from Pat Murphy up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Highlights coming up a little bit later. Brewers win 8-4. Now let's hear from the manager. Pat Murphy gives a Sal update and his thoughts on today's game with the victory. And by the way, the Diamondbacks have indeed lost. So it's a virtual three-way tie for two spots in the wild card race: the Braves, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks. Anyway, here's the manager, Pat Murphy.
Can you update us on his status?
He ran into the wall there. There's an area where there's bars over that window, and it's we don't know how significant the injury, but he has an MRI tomorrow. He's not moving, obviously. I can't even speculate what it is. He did have x-rays here. They were kind of inconclusive, but he'll have an MRI tomorrow at 10 o'clock, so we should know more then.
Murph, was the area, like, it looked like kind of his hip or
his hip.
What is that? What
it's
it was?
His hip. Yep.
And it's a great win. A lot of great things happened in the game, but this close to the postseason, I don't know. How do you kind of feel after a game like that?
Well, I feel horrible for the young man, first and foremost, and it hurts our team because he's a Gold Glove outfielder and just a winning player, you know, and he's been a winning player. He's a huge part of this thing, and that'll be a big blow if he can't play, which, you know, you'd have to lean towards that right now.
Murph, as far as the game, You know, getting off to a good start, it doesn't get much better than hitting a first inning grand slam. That's something, you know, you've talked about all season. Reese, right. All these homers are big homers for him. You know, just what kind of springboard did it give you guys early?
Yeah, he's been getting on it, man. You just watch him towards the end here. He's so motivated. He's such a leader, and he's such a young man that just, you know, he's done it before. So he wants to be in those situations, and that's great for him. And Terang set the table so well, and just his havoc on the bases and his ability to get on base 4 straight times, 3 hits, and steal I don't know how many bases. What does that make, 50 for him?
Yeah.
50 bags. There's not a lot of guys out there stealing 50, right? And his defense, and, I mean, the kid is a table setter. He's unbelievable. And then Reese coming up big. Churio not swinging the bat in the last few days the way exactly with the power and stuff we've seen. But Churio making a couple nice plays, but one great catch in a critical time. You know, pleased the way Joe Ross threw the ball, gave us 3 great innings. And McGill there at the end. So it was a good effort. You know, the Mets are really super talented. That lineup's super, super talented. So, you know, we navigated through Manaea's, you know, look at his numbers. I mean, they've been great. Look at the talent they have over there. It's pretty amazing. So we'll have our work cut out for us the next 2 days, but just keep playing.
Murphy had said you kept Bryce and Sal up there at the top to get some extra looks against left-handed pitching. Bryce obviously fared pretty well there at 3 singles. That's what you want to see, right?
No doubt. No doubt. You know, like, he's such a good player, you can't take him out of there against lefties, you know?
Murph, will start tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Tobias Myers. At some point. Whether he's the starting pitcher or not, I'm not sure, but we'll make that decision here in about 3 minutes with the pitching coaches. So.
Yeah.
Might see old Jared Koenig.
Jared Koenig. Yeah, we just talked about that earlier. That has been confirmed. Jared and Tobias tomorrow. Question, who will be going on Sunday? That is still TBD. You could make a move. You could make a decision. It could be just a full bullpen day. TBD still for Sunday. Highlights next, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Things started quickly in a pivotal final weekend of the year. Sean Manaea, who's been fantastic for the Mets against Frankie Montas. The Brewers loaded the bases with 2 outs, and Reese Hoskins fell behind 0-2. He battled it to level the count 2-2 and delivered another signature moment.
2-2 pitch.
High fly ball, deep left field. Nimmo back at the track. Hoskins, his 26th home run of the season, his 3rd grand slam of the year, and the Brewers lead it 4-0 in the bottom of the 1st.
Lane Grindle's call, that was also the 10th grand slam for the Brewers this year, matching a franchise record. And Reese, those 3 grand slams also match a franchise record. In the 2nd inning, man on after a throwing error from Francisco Lindor. Blake Perkins then stole 2nd base. Bryce Terang, also at 2 outs and 2 strikes, just put the ball in play.
1-2 pitch. Liner into center, coming in and not able to make the catch as Taylor bounces in front of him and then up in the air. Perkins scores easily on his way to 2nd as Terang with an RBI double.
Terang wasn't done creating havoc. In the 4th inning, with the Brewers up 5-2 now, he gets an infield hit. Then, a Baltimore chop double by Garrett Mitchell put him over to 3rd base, and Jackson Churio's turn to put the ball in play.
Pitch.
Breaking ball, ground ball towards second. Diving stop to his left, Iglesias throws from a seated position, but not in time at first. Brewers lead it 6-2. Chorio just beat it. And Terang scores from third on the play.
Josh Maurer's call on WTMJ. The Mets made it a little interesting, scoring two runs in the top of the eighth inning. That made it at the time 7-4. But don't worry, insurance comes in the form of the Kraken.
3-2, high fly ball, deep left field. Going back is Nimmo at the track. Way gone! Bye-bye baseball! Gary Sanchez!
Lane, I love you, brother. That ball was gone the moment he hit it. Gary admired it. He watched it. The Brewers took the 8-4 lead to the final. McGill slammed the door in the ninth. Gets a save, a four-out save for him, by the way. Brewers win 8-4. As we wrap up the program here, again, all three teams are tied in the wild card race. The Diamondbacks do not hold a tiebreaker. So in the event the Diamondbacks get swept and the Braves win a series and the Mets win at least one game, Arizona's probably out and the Mets could be coming right back here depending on what happens Monday. But one thing we know, the Mets and the Braves are going to meet on Monday. We'll be here tomorrow. First pitch is scheduled for 6:15. I'm on the air at 5 with Brewers warm-up. Thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.